The Space Case Sarah Show with space nerds Kovi and Benjamin. Who is Space Case Sarah?
Spunky, edgy, smart, funny, and a rebel feminist.
Now, witness it yourself on iRock Space Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Season 2 of The Space Case Sarah Show on iRock Space Radio. It is a new year. It is 2023. And we are so excited to be kind of starting this new page of the Space Case Sarah Show. And I'm here with my space nerds who are being exceptionally nerdy right now, Benjamin. Kavi and Benjamin.
Hello.
Benjamin has a tardigrade on his shoulder like a parrot.
his little pet
tardigrade. My space nerds have joined me again. They've sucked it up for a whole season, and now we're starting the next journey together. Season two. Here on iRock Space Radio. Gentlemen, how was your holiday season?
I like being stuck in traffic driving to LA.
Really?
No, I didn't. Actually, my daughter drove, which is exciting. She's a new driver.
That's scary.
And driving home was a lot of traffic, but I had a good time. Nice little family vacation break. Nice.
How about you, Kavi?
I feel like I was about to say something that would be maybe only relatable to Benjamin, which is I had like a very beach-oriented Christmas New Year's. It's like, I don't know, maybe California also had that kind of cool summery vibe as opposed to the cold, not cool.
Oh yeah,
cold feeling that you were having, Sarah.
Yes,
my hot and sunny, and it was freezing cold, and all of our drainage, the local drainage systems didn't work, so everything flooded.
Oh,
all the stores and all the roads, you know, sunny beachy, like coffee.
Oh yikes!
Yeah.
No, it was good. I caught up with friends and did a bit of surfing and took Newton, my wonderful space dog, for some walks and. Yeah, just hanging out with friends and feeling the summer, bro.
Yeah. Because it's summer in your part of the not real world, because you are in the fake part of the planet. Yeah, it was very cold, but then it got really warm here. Like, we almost broke a record high. It was 61 degrees Fahrenheit.
What is that in Celsius?
Don't put me on the spot. Hold on 1 second.
It got to about 40 degrees Celsius in some parts of Sydney.
So that's 16 degrees Celsius.
16. Okay. So that's, it's like a
yeah,
brisk,
I mean, for your
day.
Part, but for my neck of the woods, it's, that's extremely warm and just sort of another testament to the effects of climate change. And I know everyone's always like, it was so cold. How can there be climate change? But that's why climate change is happening. It's because the polar vortex dipped down too far low. So we got blasted with this Arctic air, and then it got pushed back up too high. And then we suddenly got all this Gulf of Mexico air that was like incredibly warm. And those extreme swings, I hate to say this to everyone, I keep bees and I know already that a hive has been lost, because that's just too hard on them. It's too hard for that big swing to get that cold and then that warm. So climate change sucks.
Especially for the bees.
But I'm glad that you both had time to enjoy family. I can't fathom having one of my children drive yet, Benjamin. So like patting your shoulder.
It was actually very, very nice. She's a young driver.
She's
but
a good driver.
Wild driver.
Okay.
Yeah, she's very good.
This is the, tell me the name of our element again.
Scandium.
I have absolutely no idea what element this is. I don't even know. Like, what, where is it?
To be fair, it's a bit of a nothing burger element.
I need a periodic table in here because I'm like, what is it?
It's one of the white metal ones. They're all
yeah,
white.
It's not heavy metal, light metal.
Okay.
Not like okay. Heavy metal. It's like soft rock kind of.
Rock on. It's a soft rock kind of metal.
Yeah.
It's more of a ballad. What do we need to know?
Literally nothing.
About this?
We need to know we need to know nothing about scandium except that it was discovered by a Swedish chemist whose name was Lars Friedrich Nielsen in the 1870s. And because he was Swedish, he named it after Scandinavia, hence scandium. Outside of that, it's pretty much only used for some high-performance metals and in aluminum alloys. So it would be like an aluminum scandium alloy that's used in baseball bats or in, I think, lacrosse sticks. And in some cases, it's used for certain aerospace alloys, but it's like, no, Benjamin, put down the baseball bat. Put it down. No!
Leave the emotional bat there.
The emotional support bat.
The emotional support bat, yes. Interesting. Was that, and it's sort of like paleontology, right? Whatever element a scientist discovers, they had the right to name it whatever they wanted it to be, correct?
It's, I think it's kind of like that line, speaking of paleontology, it's like the Jeff the Jeff Goldblum line from Jurassic Park of like, your scientists were, they could do it, but should they?
Yeah.
And I feel like with some of the elements, it's just like, I'll be honest, I had never heard of scandium before we started preparing for this episode. Never heard of it.
I mean, right, and we've studied chemistry and we're still like, the what?
I'll never like, hear about it again.
Well, but now we know. It's in bats. Benjamin! What? It's in bats, not it's the animals. What do you have for us to learn about today?
For our Scandia episode, which will air January 7th, that happens to be an astronaut birthday to Frederick Gregory, who flew on 3 shuttle flights and then became the administrator of NASA for a short bit in 2005. And happy scientist birthday to Stephen Groombridge, English astronomer who compiled the catalog of circumpolar stars, often known as the Groombridge catalog. He cataloged eventually 4,243 stars within 50 degrees of the North Pole.
Wow.
Good on you, dude.
Wow. That is,
this was in the 1830s.
That's really cool.
He's dead.
So what you're saying is he will not receive our messages. Oh, but
nope. Just send him some good vibes. Look north when you do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but thank you to
thank
him.
Thank you.
Awesome. Yeah. I guess we didn't have a lot to do with this element. That's okay. And that, I guess, ties in nicely to the fact that we have an episode that has nothing relating to our element or really, it is a theme. We're going to play trivia with each other. We decided, I felt like we just needed to do something different and fun. And so we're going to play trivia against each other, but each of us are going to take turns being the trivia host. And then the other two are going to guess. And then you, the listener, will, you know, either laugh at us because we're that ignorant and, you know, ignorant imbeciles, or, you know, maybe you'll learn something along the way with us. I know I'm going to learn a lot. I'm looking at you, Kavi.
Bring it. Just go to people who we really are. Let's go.
Yeah. Well, so we decided Kavi will go first. Benjamin and I will show our ignorance first, since we have the astrophysicist giving us some questions. And I don't know how many times I've mentioned it on this show, but I failed chemistry. I didn't fail. Actually, I shouldn't say I failed, but I've taken chemistry unsuccessfully many times.
I'm
so,
very
I've also taken it unsuccessfully once.
Watch Kavi surprise us and ask us questions about marmalade or something.
What's the
it's gonna be Vegemite.
Vegemite.
So we each are gonna kind of like stick to our respective corners of things that are the most interesting to us. So Kavi is, you know, our astrophysicist. I really like astrobiology. Benjamin is sort of the like rocket nerd and the space facts nerd and the history of science or space science, I should say, nerd. So we're gonna We're going to stick to our disciplines-ish.
I just heard an echo as you said that in my brain. It was Elton John going, Rocket Nerd.
Rocket Nerd. Okay. All right, Kavi. We have about 5 minutes. I think that that should be sufficient amount of time for you to drop some questions on us.
That will depend on how long it takes you guys to figure out the answers. There is a theme. There is a theme to the questions I am going to be posing today. And to figure out the theme, I will need y'all to answer the very first question. Which
is... Oh, boy.
Okay. Which,
a particular type of stellar object that is bigger than a planet, or I should say more massive than a planet and less massive than a star, is called a what?
A moon?
A gas giant? No, that is a planet.
That's a star. Or no, that is
a gas giant's not a star.
Bigger than a planet. More massive than a planet.
More massive than a planet, less massive than a star?
Yes.
A protostar? No.
Interesting guess.
Interesting guess.
I should have
clarified. Can I get a colder, warmer kind of thing going here?
do you mean in terms of the temperature of the object? So this is
no.
I'll give you a hint. It's not an object. It's not a like a proto anything. It's not an object that's in the process of forming. This is an object that once it's formed, it is this thing that is more massive than most planets. Right? It has to be.
So yeah, definitely not a moon.
Yes, no moon.
Smaller than a star.
We're talking about something that is roughly between 10 to 80 times the mass of Jupiter. That's the range of masses it sits in.
Okay. Is it a type of star? I guess that's the...
It is technically a type of star.
Brown dwarf?
Yes!
Well, I didn't want to say brown dwarf before because that's a star. But then you, at the beginning, you said
the star part of it threw me off too. I didn't think it would be a star. Okay. All right. Brown dwarf.
I'm amped.
Here we are.
Brown dwarf. Okay. That is the theme of my questions, which we've discovered now.
The theme is the TV show Red Dwarf. Okay, there we go. Go on.
That's a throwback to. What was it, in that late 80s, early 90s British comedy sci-fi show?
This is a fantastic theme so far. We should do this again. Okay, continue.
It's the beginning of season three. All right, go.
So for those playing at home, so brown dwarfs are these kind of stellar or substellar objects. They are almost like the missing link. You know, paleontologists often talk about a missing link when you're talking about a link between primates and Homo sapiens, primates and humans. And so brown dwarfs fill in this mass gap between massive planets like Jupiter and stars, dwarf stars. And what's interesting about brown dwarfs is that, in general, brown dwarfs cannot... they don't have enough mass to fuse hydrogen, which is, you know, the first thing that most stars spend the majority of their lives fusing hydrogen. Our sun has spent the majority of its life fusing hydrogen. However, some brown dwarfs on the more massive end can fuse something that is not hydrogen. What is it?
Helium.
Carbon.
Shit. Oh, sorry.
Oh, speaking of shit, sulfur.
It's got to be a noble gas, right?
It's keep in mind that in order to fuse heavier and heavier elements, you need to have more and more mass pushing inwards. So if there isn't enough mass to fuse hydrogen and helium,
it has to be something less massive than hydrogen and helium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ooh,
I need a periodic table.
I'll give you a hint. A periodic table would not help you.
It won't.
Well, then I was just going to Google one. Okay, never mind.
That only deals with atoms. Mm. We're talking something subatomic.
So it can't be. It's not
protons.
It's just, not like carbon. Is it?
No,
it can't be.
That's heavier than.
Right. Hydrogen. That's too much. I feel like
so those are periodic table.
To clarify, it is an isotope.
Oh.
That is less heavy than helium, more heavy than hydrogen.
H2?
Bing, 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 bing.
Oh, deuterium. Look at you.
Wow.
Wow. Known as look deuterium. At you. Yes.
Deuterium.
It is one of the two single isotopes of hydrogen.
Huh.
It's one proton, one neutron together. So some brown dwarfs, even though they cannot stably fuse hydrogen, they fuse deuterium. Normally, a star will fuse hydrogen for the majority of its lifespan, billions of years, and then it's fusing hydrogen into helium, and then at a certain point, it will then fuse helium into heavier and heavier elements, and so on and so forth.
Brown dwarfs are pretty common in the universe, right? Or are they...
I don't necessarily know that they are common.
Okay.
I think what's difficult, it would be difficult to say because we have a selection bias effect in that brown dwarfs don't always give off enough radiation to be detected by the surveys that we're using. So they wouldn't be as apparent to us.
Oh, okay. Interesting. All right.
And I will give one final question since we are coming to the end of my 5-minute segment that has turned into a 7-minute segment.
Oh, this is fantastic.
No, this is fun.
All right. Now, brown dwarfs are a lot cooler than regular stars. What? I guess I'm going to give a range, but I want you guys to tell me, if you can, what would be the range of temperatures, roughly? And you can give this to me in degrees Kelvin, Celsius.
I was going to say Kelvin.
Or Fahrenheit. Okay. Roughly, what is the temperature of the coolest brown dwarf? Or if we're being technical, sub-brown dwarf. So it would be a low-mass brown dwarf that has been detected to date. How low can it go?
So, so Kelvin is the one that can measure absolute zero, the absolute coolest, correct?
Yes, we don't do no negatives in Kelvin.
Right. So I'm going to go on the Kelvin because it seems like you're implying that this is surprisingly chill.
Yeah, it's pretty chill, I guess.
Yeah, it's pretty chill. Okay. Oh, I don't know. I don't even know, though. I don't know, like, what the averages are.
250,000 degrees Fahrenheit. 250,000.
I'm going to say 500 Kelvin. I don't know. That seems really cold, but.
Are you crazy?
Yeah, I know. It's super cold.
Yeah, it's hot.
Okay, so Sarah, your guess is 500 Kelvin, and Benjamin, your guess was?
I said 250,000 degrees. I don't care what that is. Fahrenheit, Celsius.
Wouldn't matter at that point.
It's the body temperature of 17 elephants.
Yeah. Yeah. Seven eagles. Seven eagles.
Are these African elephants?
European. Hey, European swallows.
That's the answer.
European swallow. Unladen European swallow. Yeah, so Benjamin's guess, unfortunately, was actually higher than the temperature of the sun.
250,000 degrees? Really? I thought it's almost like millions of degrees. All right, I'm off.
In the center of the sun, it's about 1,000,000 degrees, but we're talking about like the effective temperatures of distant stars. So our sun's like external temperature, the effective photospheric temperature is about like 6,000 degrees Kelvin.
Damn.
So, Sarah, you are actually closest.
Probably like way not even close.
Right, several orders of magnitude.
Should I say 501 degrees Kelvin? Damn it.
you could guess that, but you would still be further. The temperature range for the coolest brown dwarf or sub-brown dwarf is actually around 230 to 260 degrees Kelvin.
What's that in Fahrenheit and Celsius?
In Celsius, well, yeah, that would be around 40, minus 40 to minus 13 degrees Celsius. And in Fahrenheit, it would be minus 55 to around a high of 8 degrees Fahrenheit.
Shut really? The front door.
The so front the, door is fully shut.
So, what? For lack of a better word, the surface of a brown dwarf is actually really cold.
So do they think that there could be some out there that are even colder than that and we just can't detect it?
Potentially, yes. These sort of brown dwarfs are known as rogue planets.
What is happening?
You can't I like legitimately.
I have some notes I need to write.
My mind just was blown. Yeah. Yes, we need
and
to end
this segment.
For reference,
this guy is super close. This is like 7 light years away. That's the only reason we could detect it. If it was like further away, it would be very hard to detect.
That is wild, because brown dwarfs are talked about in astrobiology all the time, which is the segment that we're going to do some trivia on in the second segment. We have to take a break because we're like way over time, but that's okay. Wow. Okay. So yeah, you're listening to the Space Case Era show with the space nerds, Kavi and Benjamin. I trust that, you know, we'll have maybe time at the end to shout out our handles because we are really over time right now. So we're going to take this break. And when we get back, we're going to do astrobiology trivia facts hosted by me.
Ooh.
And then Benjamin will take the third. So stick around and we will be right back. You are listening to the Space Case Sarah show here on iRock Space Radio.